listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey there, Pharmacy Podcast Nation, Todd Urey here. Before you listen to the latest podcast, I want to tell you about the Avadem Health podcast series. Avadem Health identifies unmet needs and addresses them in a way nobody has, with a portfolio of advanced safe product solutions across a broad range of health and wellness areas, including a well-known product that has supported the Pharmacy Podcast Network for some time, for your patients suffering with restless leg syndrome and muscle cramps, TheraWorks Relief. I use this myself. The Avadem Health podcast series is a three-part series. Find it on Google by searching Avadem, spelled A-V-A-D-I-M, Avadem, and search Avadem Health podcast. It's a really interesting discussion on non-opioid pain relief, which we all know we need more long-term non-opioid pain relief solutions. Check it out, and remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts to the Pharmacy Podcast Network's entire library of content, and thank you for listening to the Pharmacy Podcast.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Hey, RX Buzz listeners, Ashley here, back with another amazing guest. I'm only going to bring you guys the best, I promise. And today I have someone who's really, really, really special to me. And I think I say this a lot, but this one in particular is really special to me because I guess, you know, we're going to dive into it more throughout the podcast, but Lori and I met, it's been probably 15 years ago. And Lori has a very special place in my heart because she actually worked directly with my dad. And if you've been following me for a while now, you know, my dad is a huge mentor of mine and really created the vision for me to go into pharmacy. And Lori was my dad's headhunter slash recruiter a couple decades ago. So I've had the luxury of having Lori not only in my back corner, but just watching her grow in her own adventures. So Lori, like, I could stop talking. Now I want you to start talking. How are you? Thank you for coming and welcome to the RX Buzz.
Oh, Ashley, thank you so much for having me. And I'm going to cry. I'm probably just going to start with crying.
I know. Isn't that crazy? So, okay, give the audience, I did a little bit of background, but go ahead and share with us like who you are and kind of what you're up to.
Okay. So, yes, I am Lori Wallace, and I've been in pharmacy recruitment since 2003, and that's how I met the beloved Buzzy. I find that since I recruit from the heart, you know, I decided to transform it from headhunting into human connection. That meant that through all these years, kind of bringing that feminine principle forward, that, you know, I would find myself meeting people like you and like your dad and people that were reaching out through this landscape of disconnect and automation and exploitation. And they're looking out for someone that just said, hey, oh my gracious, I see you. I see your magnificence. I see your gifts. What do you want? And what is your purpose? And what are you bringing? And through the years, I have had so many beautiful conversations like this. And I tell you, Ashley, honestly, sometimes I'll be talking to someone amazing, another incredible pharmacist. They're all, every single one, so humble, so service-oriented. And we'll be 2 minutes into the call, and I'll say, hey, do you need to cry? And they will, and they'll cry because they're thinking, I just took this job. I want to make a difference, and I'm not being seen, or I'm being pushed out, or I'm somebody who recognizes med errors and no one wants to hear about it, and I really want to make a difference. So really, honestly, after all these years and feeling all that pain, seeing all that pain on all sides, I decided come this year, 2019, that I was going to just once and for all crack it wide open and say, no more isolation, no more factory farming, no more exploitation. Let's take these job boards, let's turn it into a honey-infused hive, and let's have fun, and let's have connection, and let's just make it all about wellness, fun, and individuals. And it's a huge risk. We're evolving the whole darn thing in so many different ways. But I'm so glad to be doing that and to be launching with you as a key collaborator, because I know that you also are following your magnetic sort of center and your heart. You and I both are just rocking it. We're like, heck, let's just do this, right? This is important.
Yeah, totally. No, I feel you. So you've transitioned essentially from working as a recruiter for, because you've always been in your own space, right? If I'm not mistaken, or how were you working for a different companies? And then now you're transitioning into like a job board per se.
Yeah. I mean, really, when I started off as a recruiter, it was really funny because it was kind of a moment of crisis. I know you've probably experienced this and many of the listeners that we learn later in our lives that our gifts are right behind our wounds. And the greatest moments of growth are through crisis. Yes. And that's when we get sort of cracked open.
Yeah. And so actually, you know, as we're talking, we have probably students that listen and they might not even know what a recruiter is. So do you mind breaking down what a recruiter has the potential to do for you?
Yes.
Or what their role is?
Yes, yes. And I think I'll weave into their watch out as well.
Because
whenever I'm in front of students,
please do.
I often tell them about that. So, you know, there are ways to find jobs through mentors, through preceptors, through just people
networking.
Networking, referring. Then there's also, of course, Indeed and all sorts of job boards and applying directly. And then there are people like me that are recruiters that have signed contracts with employers where they say, Lori, I need your help. Help me find a transplant pharmacist. Mm-hmm. We are going to pay you according to this contract if you find someone that is a match that says yes and begins and stays with us for a certain amount of time. So as a recruiter, then I begin the process of searching and having conversations. And hopefully, if I'm a good recruiter, you know, and somebody who cares about people, which I am, through the years, I actually already have met many people that I know that are interested in that space. So I'll reach on out and say, hey, this is going on. Do you want to learn more? The conversation starts, and the recruiter can help just help that person really find out or ascertain whether or not they are a match for this culture, if it's mutual, and if they have the qualifications. So a recruiter can really help as a bridge. Mm-hmm. They set up the interviews. They assure that the agenda is shared. They prep, oh, here's who you're going to talk to, and I know what they care about in the interview. It's a completely held process when it's done right.
But if I'm not mistaken, I'm just curious, not all health systems, not all places go through recruiters, right? Or do most? I don't know.
Right. And that's what
you're teaching me.
Yes, yes, you're so right, because that's one of the main reasons why I started Job Hivery, because the pain, Ashley, it's not only on the side of people looking for jobs where they feel ignored or ghosted.
Yeah, it's also the employer.
It's the employer because they need to find someone
totally
that's a match, and they don't want to have to pay these exorbitant fees, but then they go into...
So that's the thing that pharmacists might not know about, is that the exorbitant fees, like what is that? What is
so
that?
Yes, that's the contract. So the organization has various different fee arrangements depending on the organization. Mm. So if they're contracting with one of these publicly traded recruiting firms, the fee is going to be super high because that fee is paying, or that organization and the fee is paying for, you know, the sales trips, for the rent, for all the people, for all their insurances. So I'm an independent recruiter, so my tend to be much more palatable.
Got it.
Depending on the organization and what, you know, what we arrange, but it still is way too much. So like a job posting is going to be a couple hundred dollars per month. A recruiter fee is going to be in the tens of thousands, to give you a sense. So you can imagine, do you want to use this money that you have in your budget for a Pyxis upgrade?
Right.
Or are you going to use it to pay a recruiter? But you need, so let me tell you this. When I worked for a key hospital system, I'll leave them nameless for the moment, and they shifted around their recruiting process, and they hired one of those big muckety-muck firms from New York. they lost their local focus. I no longer could work with them. I knew all the local people and I could bridge all of these gaps and bring them together. So now they have a New York firm that really didn't understand this particular hospital. After about 6 weeks, I started to get calls from the COO and this was nursing actually, and nurse executives saying, my team's about to quit because we can't hire good people. The nurses feel like their patients are going to die. And everybody's so stressed, they're just going to walk out tomorrow. I need you, Lori. And I said, you know, I do not have a contract and I'm not allowed to help. And I was destroyed and devastated by that block and barrier. Job Hivory works around it.
Okay, so now you are transitioning away from independent recruiter to now creating Job Hivory. Now let's dive into kind of, what is this magical Hivory tribe you're doing for the profession?
Okay. Yes. Here's the good bridge. Basically, fundamentally, let me say this and then I'm going to explain it. As a recruiter, I have felt barriers to connecting people to good jobs, to just helping for the sake of it because of all sorts of contract needs or people competing, two recruiters trying to bring the same person, so someone's blocked. The whole thing is filled with dams to the river, blocks.
Totally, yeah.
And it's awful, and it doesn't flow correctly. And
so it's interesting from like a pharmacist perspective, like we don't see any of that background, right? So, from an employee's perspective or from a candidate perspective. So yes, you don't see any of that.
You don't, but you feel it, and here's how. If you are talking to more than one recruiter and both recruiters bring your name into the organization now might potentially feel like they might have to pay two people. So they might walk away from your resume because it's too much.
I've heard that. And I, you know, a couple years ago when I was in this transition phase of if I was going to go back into the health system, like to the DOP world, I had several recruiters like really get critical about, are you working with other recruiters? I was like, I don't know. I put my resume out. Like, I don't know who's looking at it. And it's interesting that you say that.
Yes. It seems like real estate. You know, when you look at a house
from like a DOP standpoint, like why would they care?
So they care because their hands get slapped by HR. If there are two recruiters claiming that particular candidate, then that employer might have to pay out two contracts twice for one match.
Got it.
And you know what I mentioned to you? I was going to bring up a key watch out. It ties into this.
Yeah.
This is what I tell students and people all the time. When you're meeting and talking to a new recruiter, you need to make sure that if they want to talk to you about a specific role, let's say UCLA, and you're saying, oh yes, that's the role I'm looking for. The question to the recruiter is, do you have an established contract already with UCLA? You have to ask that because if they do not, and the question's not asked, here's the scenario, here's what happens. That person says, great, here's my resume. Recruiter calls Joe on the phone. Hey, Joe, DOP, got somebody really special, Ashley Clevens. She's dynamite. She's everything you're looking for. I'll get you the resume. Joe says, oh my God, she sounds amazing. Problem is I have no budget, so I cannot receive this resume. Joe said, so the recruiter's like, oh, sorry, Joe. Okay, hangs up. Calls back to Ashley. Ashley says, hey, how'd it go? If it's an unsavory recruiter, they lie. They do. And they say, oh, you know what? They actually already decided on a candidate. It's closing. Let's look elsewhere.
Oh my God.
That happens.
That happens?
Oh my God. What? It happens all the time. I've seen it firsthand.
This is the most eye-opening podcast I've had in a very long time.
It is.
Because I live in the world of careers, right? Like I'm all about helping people stand out in a busy marketplace and elevate their careers. And then here we are, no matter what we do, there's like some logistics or politics behind the scenes. Like what the heck?
So that's going on. And here's the other little layer that happens. So let's say,
you're killing me.
Let's say Ashley says like, you know what? I'm not sure I trust this recruiter. You know, they kind of sound a little bit, you know, like that might be like, so Ashley Clevens goes ahead and puts the resume right in through HR and through the job post because she's thinking I need to cover my own self. Okay. HR goes, oh, here she is, runs over to Joe. Look at this person. Joe says, oh boy, I cannot look at this resume because this recruiter called me yesterday. They'll claim her, even though we don't have a contract. And I said, no,
oh my God.
Who's your next person?
Sure, sure.
So that's why when you're talking to a recruiter, you say, if you don't have a contract, I do not want you to present me. Otherwise, you can talk just about my credentials, but don't bring my name up because I do not want the door closed for me. Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yes. It is.
Especially in a busy competitive marketplace.
Yes, and there are recruiters also that are really junior that don't know better, and they'll take your resume and they'll just kind of mass fax it around, and it shows up in fax machines all over pharmacies.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it's bad news.
Okay. All right. So insert your new Hivory here.
Okay. So with all these blocks and all these problems, what we want to do is undam the river. We want any person who's looking for a job to feel seen, to know that there is no one that is, you know, that is kind of competitive, or that you don't have the employer as well, either blocking because of fees or blocking because they heard it from somewhere else. You want complete openness with referring. So what we realize is job boards could be like that if you layered on top of it the human touch. So currently, when you put a resume into Indeed, you're searching from, you know, Starbucks barista, you know, all the way up to CEO, you know, of Google or something. So you find yourself, and these are all based on clicks and this kind of stuff. And then you get into, and I'm going to tell you this other tip too, you get in through what we call an ATS, an application tracking system. So I have a friend, little side note, who is an HR rep in a hospital. And one night we were going out for happy hour. And I asked her, I said, hey, you ready to go? I'll pick you up in 20 minutes. She said, you know, I need about a half hour to do my clicks. And I said, so what do you mean? What are your clicks? And she said, well, in order to meet my bonus, every day I have to go ahead and just click on all the applications that came through. There's way too many for me to really look at. So I just have to click them. So it looks like I kind of looked at them.
Oh my gosh. Was your mind just blown? Like, what?
It was.
And that's a recruiter, that's like a bad, dirty word. Like, what? You're not looking? Like, what?
Yes. And that's when I realized that the gift of ATSs or autumn, you know, these tracking systems, they're so helpful, but there is a fulcrum point.
Oh, totally.
Where it becomes too much. And you can get lost in that.
Easily.
But then we look at it, well, that's the world we have today. So there's an aspect also of, as Gandhi would say, or actually Buddha, I should say, would say the non-attachment, that you simply just apply and you plant your seed and you do enough and you trust that, you know, ultimately the best outcome. But you want to try to work within channels that are open. So what Job Hivory is doing is we're layering direct search with the job board. So every person that applies to Job Hivory, which is only pharmacy, only in California, so we can be personal about it. I notice every single person coming through. And then once they come through, they're welcomed and they can tell us confidentially if they're actively looking for a role. And then my team regularly looks at that every day and we're looking to match them. Right. And if we have an open role like we do right now with UCSF, for example, transplant, using that example, then we are also looking for people within our community who we can call and match to that. Meanwhile, we're helping them, referring them to you for wonderful, if they're like, I want to up my career, you know, I want a chance to go ahead and kind of be all I can be. I want to take some risks. So then we're referring to our collaborators.
Right.
We're working with them on mindful, you know, we have something called feng shui your resume. So, you know, we help with that. We've got wellness. We're actually, you're not going to believe this, we're producing an embrace wellness video this weekend to help pharmacists that are so stressed with just 20 minutes of mindful movement that's actually related to landscape. So it's called embodied nature.
I love it.
It's just because, you know, I've worked so closely with all these pharmacists and I know how much they all give, and you know, day to day without a private cubicle or office to go melt away from whatever trauma, you know, is going on. And so we're just trying to connect mindfully that way and give everyone sort of safe harbor, give everyone just like this juicy hive to connect and see. Yeah.
So does it cost money to be a part of the Job Hivory, like from the pharmacist perspective, or?
No, not at all. And there's different ways to kind of come into connection. So, you know, we're going to have to start telling our story about what it means to launch an organization that's trying to just be truly heart-centered. You know, making sure that it has full integrity. With every posting, actually, we plant 20 trees in, where are we planting those? Through Tree Sisters. So in Brazil and various places in the tropics, it has a 24 hour, every single 365 day a year thing growth pattern. But you know, it's really about how can everything we do serve each individual and the earth and all of that. And it's so different and so kind of radical, because the ultimate with this is that when people are all buzzing around then, and they're finding jobs because they're referring each other and they're finding that there are no more barriers.
Right.
Then we can work on the direct search things with the organizations and bring that fee way down and pay for the wellness just through the job.
Yeah.
The whole thing's integrated. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I love all of this.
It's complicated. We have to draw a picture.
It's not that complicated. You're building a community for job seekers and employers to draw like-minded people and to just cut the ATS, cut the, and I'll say bad words on this, cut the baloney out and just be as supportive as possible through a cycle.
You know, what we're noticing, you probably are as well, is that as the world gets so large and so automated and social media and everything, that we really lose a sense of community and a sense of just grounding in and being seen. There's really a movement right now. It's even happened in music. You know, we no longer have Sony Music and all these big things.
Yeah.
It's come down to the individual song.
Right.
You know, it's like coming down to how can we get back into like a focused community that's very localized. And there's something, have you heard of something called transition towns?
Maybe. What are you referring to?
The reason I bring this in is that all of this is inspiring. And so is the new movie called The Biggest Little Farm, which is taking factory farming and transforming it into
I love that. Yes. Yes.
So it's this whole transition towns is the idea that we have large organizations coming into towns, bringing their businesses. And then when that industry sort of shifts or fails, the town is left holding the bag. They're left suffering. So transition towns say, how do we localize and take care of our own? So we might have our own commerce. We'll have our own business where we are sure that we all buy from one another and so forth. Job Hivery is like that. We're California. We're just pharmacy. We're looking out for each other and we can evolve and make a difference. So it's not just this massive, indeed global, that doesn't really care and is just trying to amass classified ads. I mean, I don't even know how much money they make. It must be just in the nearly billions, honestly. I don't know. But so that's the movement in the world right now. There's a wonderful book called The Starfish and the Spider. Mm. It's the concept that if you pull off a leg of a spider, that's awful to think about. But if you do, the spider will die. It won't be able to forage. It won't be able to do what it needs. But if that happens to a starfish, that leg actually forms again into a whole nother starfish.
Mm-hmm.
So it's this concept that we do not have to be reliant on one central mind or brain. We can regenerate ourselves. We can be local. We can support one another. We can be nimble and so much more creative.
Totally.
So we just have to come into that sort of place. And so you see it just everywhere. AA is an example of that. This book I read talked about it. So
I love it. Lori, I love what you represent. And I mean, like, you go so deep into the philosophical, deep, I don't know. It's just refreshing to have a nice conversation, not so clinical, not so sterile, not so cold, just like real life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, I mean, one of the reasons why I value your friendship so much is because you just get it. Like, you're in the weeds, you're working hard. You really want to, you're in the business to serve. And I think that that's super rare. You know, I think so many people are in businesses to make a buck. And it's evident when you start working, especially with some of the businesses that you're talking about, some of the recruiters, some of the industries, that you could just tell. I mean, it's really people removed and it's just a machine.
It's so, I love that you said it that way. That's the thing, is it's become a machine out there. And, you know, really the impetus, it all started at September 11th. You know, I just birthed my baby basically a month after September 11th, and I felt so destroyed about what am I doing? What kind of world am I bringing my child into? And I lost my job because my the bank I worked for as a director, went into a fast recession. We had to sell our home and we went into fast crisis. And I looked at my husband and I just said, I need to make a shift in my career and I'm feeling a calling. And he said, well, what is it? And I said, I'm just going to put it this way. I need to practice radical kindness. And I don't know where that is. And so then within 24 hours, I got a call from my recruiter suggesting that I actually become a recruiter.
There we go.
You know, and I thought that could work. But then I did find out that recruiting is a hardcore business and I was being timed on my calls and my calls were even being listened to. And I had people saying, Lori, I was just let go. And it was hard for me because it was a month where my marriage was shifting and it's been a hard time. And they needed 45 minutes to even just express themselves. Yeah. And I have somebody looking at their watch saying, you had 6 minutes per call. You know, that's really what you should be managing to. And I just, within 3 years, I just moved my family back home to California. And I just said, I'm going to do this completely differently. And if I need to be on the phone for 3 hours, we will. You know?
I love it. Well, anything we can do to support you, we're super collaborative. And I've been pushing, you know, my clients your way for a while now. But I think if anyone is interested in kind of working with you or is interested in learning more about you, what's the best way to reach out?
Oh, thank you so much. I think the best way to do that is to come on over to our main website, jobhivory.com, and you'll see the moving lavender and the bees. You'll kind of understand how this is an ecosystem moment and how alive it is. And there's a place at the bottom where you can just type in your email. It says amazing human. So type in your amazing human email, and then we will begin to communicate and share all sorts of gifts with you. And we'll be so excited to birth this with anyone who comes involved or comes into community, because we are just babes in the woods. You know, this is a commitment, and we're not giving up. So
I love it. All right, Lori, thank you so much for your time and energy and just for being here with me. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm blowing you kisses right now. Mwah, mwah.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.